All right, turn your Bibles, Will, to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, we've been taking a look. We took a look at the Passover, the sanctification of the firstborn, if you will, the redemption of the firstborn, and the significance of that. The Passover itself, really, in regards to the redemption of the firstborn, was not that it was a small thing, but that thing of the Passover, it had its place. And then this redemption of the firstborn, the Lord sanctified the firstborn, and the way that he delivered Israel out of Egypt in that day. We took a look last time in Numbers chapter 3, how that the Levites were going to be taken. The Lord told them earlier, as we read in Exodus, mostly in some places in Exodus, how the Lord said, this is going to happen. I'm going to redeem the firstborn because I sanctified the firstborn in that day that I brought you out of Egypt. We're going to redeem the firstborn. You are going to redeem the firstborn. He told them about it a few times. And then when it got to the point there in Numbers chapter 3, we saw where the Lord said, count up all the firstborn among the Levites. Count up all the firstborn and that which needed to be redeemed in Israel. And then for that, for the mismatch, there were more that needed to be redeemed in the other tribes in the nation of Israel than there were firstborns for them. And so the Lord said, give 5 shekels after the money of the sanctuary and give it to the Levites to redeem them. And he also said, take all the cattle of the Levites and use them to redeem the cattle, the firstborn amongst that in the rest of the nation. We took a look at how that changed the lives of the Levites. Until that time, Aaron is called to be priest. But then as the Lord had them counted, he said, of this tribe, of this portion of the tribe of Levi, they're going to dwell on the north side of the tabernacle. And this part is going to, and they're going to take of this duty in the tabernacle. And this part is going to, of the Levites, is going to dwell on the west side of the tabernacle. And this is going to dwell on the south side of the tabernacle. Each of them having responsibility of the instruments, the pieces and parts of the tabernacle. And then out there on the east side was going to be Moses and Aaron and his household. They were called to service by the Lord. And they were called to be up there close and personal with the Lord, weren't they? How was it when the nation of Israel traveled during that time, right, by the pillar of fire by night and by the pillar of the cloud by day? And wherever that pillar stopped, that's where they camped. And all those Levites that the Lord had organized that way, they got busy. They set up their camp and then went out there and set up the tabernacle. And they were busy. And then the guys putting together the insides, the guys putting together the outsides, the putting out that perimeter curtain around the court, setting all that up. And then that Shekinah glory came down there and dwelt amongst them. God living amongst his people. Whoa, that's good. That's good. I tell you what, it is good that the Lord lives and dwells within us, isn't it? It sure is. God Almighty, the most important one that there is, has had to do with the likes of me and you in saving us. I tell you what, we need to rehearse that in our hearts and minds. And never, may the Lord help us, that it never become dull. Numbers chapter 8, we see here, the Lord has given the account in chapter 3. Now in chapter 8 is the actual sacrifice. It's the doing of the deed, if you will, okay? And so in Numbers chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the 7 lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, and to the flowers thereof. It was beaten work, according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses, so he made the candlestick. Verse 5, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. He's given the count. They've checked out the difference between the nation and the Levites. And now here's going to be the doing of it. This is going to be the transaction, okay? He says, take the Levites and cleanse them. Verse 7, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them. Let them shave all their flesh. Let them wash their clothes. So make themselves clean. And let them take a young bullock with his meat offering and fine flour mingled with oil. And another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. The children of Israel are going to lay their hands on the Levites. They're going to prepare themselves this way. They're going to make themselves clean after the Lord says to do so. And they're going to lay their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron, verse 11, shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. Verse 12, and the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks. And thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons. And we saw that in Numbers chapter 3, how over different groups of them, the Lord said over one group in particular that I remember, that one of Aaron's sons would be responsible and work with them. I think it was that group that was on the south side that took care of the inside things, the things in the tabernacle itself, the things in the most holy, those things inside, if I remember that right. And set them before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Verse 14, thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. You know, we mentioned last time that we're bought with a price, this whole thing of redemption. It's a ransom, it's a paying for us. And that redemption, this redemption of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see, and as you well know already, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the firstborn. And the firstborn was given for us. He is our redemption. He's the sacrifice for our sins. He rose from the dead to give us everlasting life. He is the Passover. He fulfills all these things in one sacrifice of himself. And he says here, the Lord says, the Levites shall be mine. And in us being bought with a price, we are the Lord's. We're not our own anymore, are we? We are his. We saw this morning we're his habitation, right? His husbandry, his tillage, as the scripture says, his house here in his church. We're his. We belong to him. And we need to not forget that. Verse 15, and after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. These Levites on this day, they are being given as a ransom for the firstborn and the rest of the nation. By an exact count, as we saw last time, they are being given. We talked about last time, look at how that changed their lives. Their lives went from being this way, and their expectation of having property in Canaan, having a place for their tribe to dwell, all that changed. All that got changed. The Lord said, I've chosen you to do this. You know, that's what the Lord has chosen us to do. Has he not, when he calls us and saves us and calls us and places us in his church, does he not call us to service? Is there any child of God, any word in the scripture that lets any of us off the hook in his service? There's not, is there? You can't find it. And so it is here with the Levites. And shall offer them, at the end of verse number 15, thou shalt cleanse them and offer them an offering. Verse 16, and they are, for they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel. Instead of such as openeth every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. See, the Lord gave an order about how a firstborn son would be redeemed. Remember that with a lamb, right? And that was going to be the continuation of this. It was to be in Israel perpetual. We saw how it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she, Mary, brought an offering, two turtle doves, one for herself, and I believe one in obedience to this command about redemption of the firstborn. He was Mary's firstborn. And because they were poor, they didn't have a lamb to offer for the Lord. So the Lord, in his economy, he makes it a way so even the poorest can obey. That's the reason that the tithe and the offering in our day is what it is. I believe the tithe, we'll go ahead and get off into this a little bit. I haven't really preached about that any. The tithe, I believe for us in the day of the Lord's church, that's just a starting point. Just 10%. That's an example of what was, you know, that's a example to us, all the way from Abraham meeting with Melchizedek there and all the way with the children of Israel. 10% just gets you started. And the Lord, and we should be a people dedicated to the Lord's work to give above and beyond the tithe, offerings freely, free will to the Lord. We should be willing to do so. Can we outgive the Lord? Can we really outgive the Lord who has given so much to us? And the thing is, some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Listen, you can't afford not to. You can afford not to. You can't afford not to tithe, to not give an offering. Because God can let you and make it to where you can get by on 90, 85, 80% better than you can on 100. But see, as I mentioned the other night when I preached, if we don't go there and try him and prove him, we won't ever know that he can do it. We maybe hear others say that he can. We hear the preacher preach that he can. But we can never know it or experience it. And what is it that the tithe, the offering, that we should be in our minds and in our hearts be based upon? What's on that which we are profited, even before the government gets their cut, even before Governor Beshear gets his cut. Off the top, what we are gained. You have a business, you have money that goes into the business, and you have collections that you have for selling your product, and then whatever you are profited, that's what the Lord expects, whether it's someone that makes little or someone that makes a whole big pile. And that one there that makes a whole big pile, the Lord says, keep it simple. Don't make a show. Do it before me. And the thing is remember that in that economy, the Lord really recognizes, who did he recognize? The woman that gave the alms. She gave of her want, of her need. The Lord said she gave more than them all. I believe that was the whole mess of them that gave that day, throwing in two mites. Yes, the Lord's economy, he's just good. He's just gracious. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but I did. Verse 17, and all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. And the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified the firstborn for myself, and therefore the Levites are given. This initial sacrifice, this initial redemption, this initial ransom for the nation of Israel, and the Levites being given for that. And then the order that the Lord had given already about the redemption of firstborn cattle and firstborn males and such as that. Verse 18, and I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron, verse 19, and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. So there needs to be a people set apart, a people that is going to be clean as the Lord commands it and orders it. Because as we know, the Lord sent plague. He sent the fiery serpents. He sent other plagues, different things. If you remember on the Philistines, as they messed around there, had the tabernacle of the Lord, you know, of all things, he smote them with hemorrhoids. What a terrible plague that was. But the Lord does, he sends it out because of his glory, because of his righteousness, because of his greatness. One needs to be qualified to approach. And how is it that we are able to approach to the Lord? It's because of the sacrifice of the Lord. The scripture says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That doesn't mean cocky or high-minded or bossy or sassy. That means we can go with confidence because the Lord says come. He says come. And we can go with confidence and know that we'll be heard. He tells us to come to him. That there be no plague among the children of Israel, verse 19 there at the end, when the children of Israel come nigh to the sanctuary. Verse 20, and Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. What a spectacle that was that day, wasn't it? All those Levites that were counted, that were given of those men, they were out there separate. And the nation looking on. What were they thinking? Boy, I'm glad I wasn't called to be a Levite. Have you heard what all they got to do? Praise God for the way that he works. And now we have a place to bring our honor, to bring our offering to, a sacrifice to be given for us. We are now a nation, blessed and touched by God. Look at what the Lord has done. What was Joshua and Caleb saying? They were saying, amen. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord for the wonderful way that he works. Verse 21, and the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons. And the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait on the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister in their, with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation, to keep the charge, and to do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge. 25 years and out. 25 years and out. You studied and learned up to the age of 25, and then you were put to work. And when it was sacrifice time, don't you know it was work? How big was that altar? I had those boys up here, and that altar was big, wasn't it? All that order of that sacrifice that was brought by millions in the nation of Israel. And that, and they had to order the wood, they had to keep the fire, they had to prepare the sacrifices right, had to put them on the altar right, and just continually work. Don't you know they were getting a workout? I don't know, anybody, any of you ever work as a butcher? Every butcher I ever met was strong, because running that knife all day, carrying that meat all day, they were strong. And those men that did that were no doubt strong, and they did that for 25 years. And then at 50 years old, what did they do? They trained the younger ones. They trained the younger ones and showed them how to do it, how them to keep the order, this sacrifice, that sacrifice, the other sacrifice, whatever it was, in the time, in the type, and in the sacrifices themselves the Lord provided for them. Verse 26, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge. Those sacrifices that were given of that, and we will not take time to read it, but of those sacrifices given, there were pieces and parts of those sacrifices that were given for the provision for the Levites. They were provided for out of the work itself. And even that's the way it is today, isn't it? The way it is with the leadership. And I thank the Lord and I praise the Lord and thank you for your all's care for me and my family here and being your pastor. The Lord has blessed you and by doing so blessed me well in doing so. We have no need and we are thankful to the Lord for that. Some churches don't understand that. But we praise God that you do and we're thankful for it. And thankful the way the Lord has worked in it. In this, we see how it was that day that the Levites were given for that sacrifice, the doing of the deed, if you will. We'll not read it, but in Numbers chapter 9, maybe we'll take that up next time. In verses 1 through 14, the Lord reminds Israel again, keep the Passover. Keep the Passover in the order of it. And in Numbers chapter 18, let's read this. Numbers 18, a reminder ongoing now after the Levites are offered this way as a redemption for all the firstborn of Israel. The Lord reminds once again in Numbers chapter 18, verse number 15. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, Numbers 18, 15, everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast shalt thou redeem. The Lord says, ongoing now, we've taken care of the population of Israel now, but ongoing, redeem that according to the way that I've commanded. Consider this. We'll just give you this for consideration. Turn over. We'll read one more verse. Numbers 33. There was a provision made for the Lord's people as it is for us. Was there any provision made for Egypt? Was there any redemption in Egypt? Not at all. Not at all. The closest thing for any redemption in Egypt, and I don't understand all about it, but that mixed multitude, whoever they were, and they were a troublesome crowd, they were mixed up, they had trouble, they had doubting and problems. But in Egypt, there was no redemption. In Numbers chapter 33, verse number 3, and they departed from Ramses in the first month, that is the children of Israel, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. We made mention about that, how it is that not only did the Lord judge Egypt, but he judged their gods. And the Lord tells us there was no redemption for Egypt. Oh, you know, the glory of the Lord coming and visiting you and me with his word. You know, he was not bound in any way to do that. But he was pleased to, wasn't he? In his mercy, in his grace, he brought his word one day to you and me. Maybe we were born in a Christian home where our parents were saved, or maybe it was maybe your parents weren't saved at all, but by another means the Lord brought the Word of God to you and showed you about Jesus Christ, showed you that redemption through Him, and saved your souls. Praise God that He has, amen? Yeah. We need to be a thankful people. We need to be a rejoicing people about how the Lord has worked in us, touched us, visited us. He didn't have to, but he did. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no redemption. You are on your own, and that's not a good place to be in. The Lord says, repent of your sins. Admit before God that you're guilty, that you've sinned against Him, that you're guilty, you're a sinner, unclean, undone, without hope. and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Receive Him. That what God says about you is the truth. Take God's side against yourself and believe. If thou canst believe, believe.